G'day world, Chris Hogan coming to you from the Me Media Studio here at Burleigh Heads for episode 97 of Get Fact Up. And today with me I have a special guest, Adrian Nathaniel from he's an ethical investor, or would that be the correct term, Adrian?
I'm a financial planner, right. Licensed financial planner, specializing in ethical investing.
Okay.
And my business is called Argonaut Financial.
Great. Thanks very much, Adrian. I surely would have stuffed that up being early in the morning and not much sleep last night. So,
no worries.
What is ethical investing?
Yeah, essentially, in a nutshell, it's about using money as a force for good. Okay, so there is a real shift happening around money. And essentially, it began, I guess, around the GFC. And I guess with the Occupy movement, people were just starting to question, what is this thing, money? And what is the financial industry? What are they doing with our money? And since then, and way before then too, there's been issues around, companies that are destroying the planet, that are not treating their staff well. And also where there's a inequality in a lot of areas to do with women as well. And so there's been a real evolution of consciousness that's been occurring over the last decade. And now these are really coming to the surface. And so there's a real movement with companies really becoming, in order to really compete in moving forward, they are having to consider what's being known as a triple bottom line. So in addition to their financial performance, they need to also demonstrate their social and environmental impacts as well. And so ethical investing is all about finding or divesting out of companies that are not doing that. Okay, and looking for companies that are proactively, that are showing leadership in this area.
Having a purpose beyond profit.
Absolutely. That's it. 100%.
Yep. And we're also seeing consumers take that road as well, where they're preferring to purchase products from people who are making a social impact somewhere. And a lot of people call that, you know, an aspirational goal, and a lot of investors and smart people would actually say, well, be careful of becoming a social entrepreneur because you can totally ruin your business, and it's important to make a profit, to actually make money so that you can be a powerful socialpreneur or aspirational entrepreneur. So, Adrian, how are you marketing your business? Like, how are you getting your word out there and attracting clients?
Yeah, look, this is actually a great question. And I guess in this area, one of my gurus would be Seth Godin. He says that you've got to have a message. You've got to have a story that people can connect with. People don't buy just products and services. They want to buy into a story, a message, something that can make a difference. And so for me, this is all part of the whole thing. And consumers now are becoming much more sophisticated and savvy. You know, they can see straight through just when they're being sold to, okay? And so consumers want authenticity as well.
So Simon Sinek.
Yep.
People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's another one as well.
2009, that YouTube TED Talk came out. And that has proliferated through a lot of companies that I've dealt with. I've introduced it. A lot of people have actually come to me and have known about it as well. So
it's the whole business with purpose.
Purpose?
That's it. It's like essentially it all ties in together with what I'm doing around ethical investing as well. Cuz and there's a great analogy. You know, the human body makes red blood cells. Okay, if it doesn't make red blood cells, it would die in a very short period of time. And but it doesn't mean that the purpose of life is to make red blood cells. Similarly, a business needs profits in order to survive. If it doesn't make money, it would die. But it doesn't mean that the purpose of business is to make money. Okay, it's much more than that. Okay, money will come, but you've got to have a really defined purpose. When you do have a really defined why and your purpose, not only will you be able to attract the right client, but you'll also be able to attract and retain quality employees as well.
So I call this era that we're in right now the values economy.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm attempting to write a book, hence why I couldn't go to sleep last night. I was up tapping away. Those values, I believe, need to start from the head. The fish always rots from the head. Therefore, the personal values of the director or the founder or the owner or the CEO, you know, need to align with the corporate values. Now, are you noticing a shift there where those personal values are actually flowing through corporate values? And the reason why I ask that is because I've certainly noticed when corporate values are just a facade. You know, they're put out there because the stats say I'm going to get 66% more, you know, customer transactions, you know, conversion, because I back a charity or I have a purpose beyond profit. But then you see those companies doing things that clearly don't align with, I guess, that activity or that happened over there. So my example is Coles and Woolies, specifically Coles, copped a massive rap, you know, over the knuckles recently, you know, on social, where they said that they were on the 1st of July, they were going to can all plastic bags. And a week later, they did a backflip.
Yep.
And also, I think it was a week later after that, they came out with a new, you know, loyalty sort of, or an incentive program, which was tiny little plastic toys that the kids would bug their parents. Oh, we have to shop at Coles. We have to shop at Coles. Got to get my little plastic version of Vegemite for my little shop at home.
Yeah, look, it's a really good point, and this is something that I've been finding. Not only I'm actually doing an online ethical business summit, so I've been interviewing some leaders around Australia in this space, and I'm finding just what you're saying. You know, there's a real disconnect with the leaders and the people on the ground. And in fact, I was in Sydney on Tuesday delivering a program to some employees, of a corporate employees, and none of the senior level management were there. And so this is something that really needs to be unpacked further. Because I asked, because actually there was far less numbers of employees at the actual workshop that I was presenting than was anticipated. And I asked the person there why they thought that. And they said, well, if senior level management were here, there'd be more people here. So it was interesting. Now, my response to what you said before is that I think their leaders actually need to drop out of the head, because I think this is where a lot of the issues are at the moment. And in fact, with where we are on the planet, it's all being driven from the mind and the head, and it needs to drop into the heart space. This is where I believe values lie. And essentially, there's a embraining. It's about the three brains, and the heart is known as the leader. That the mind will just is like the general. It will follow the heart. The heart is what leads the way. So essentially, we've got to. And this is this whole thing. What I'm developing and working on at the moment is a thing around called self-leadership. And this is for like top-level management as well as employees on the ground as well. If we don't know who we are, what we value, what's important to us and what we stand for, how are we going to live our life effectively? And so essentially there was this really interesting study done by this developmental psychologist, and she termed this concept of self-leadership around mature adulthood. And she says that only 3% of humans achieve mature adulthood. And she says that mature adulthood is really about taking responsibility for our own lives and not giving our authority to someone else. And so this whole concept is around a leadership with no title. So even as an employee, you can still be a leader in your own right, okay, and be part of a team. In fact, I think we need to at this point. So what this requires is for people to really get to know who they are. And this means dropping out of the head, because the mind is just full of thoughts that just go round and round in circles. There's stories that we pick up and little gribblies that happen throughout the day. But we need to be able to drop below that surface to discover who we really are. What's important to us?
What is going to be the benefit, the company benefit of doing that?
Oh, 100%. So for a company, for leaders, firstly, to do that, for them to connect with their hearts and what they truly value, they will either leave the company if it's not aligning with them, or they will then inspire. This is what a true leader does. They're not a boss where they order and command authority. They inspire their people to follow along. Okay, so and there's been this. I was just having a conversation in one of my interviews the other day around transformational leadership, and there's this the woman who's put together a model. And she says that what is required now is the edge walker type of leader, okay? And she said there was five other styles of leadership. One is like the doomsayer. One's like the flame holder. So that they're holding the torch of tradition. It's always been done this way. We've got to continue doing it this way. But the edge walker is where it needs to go, because the edge walker is the true innovator. Okay, so they actually walk between the mind and the heart, between the material and say the spiritual, and they will take time out to perhaps go on a vision quest. In fact, there's a great book, The Diamond Cutter, which explores this Tibetan monk. He gets told by his teacher he's got to go into the world, and so and he's got to get a job, and so he goes, well, what sort of job am I going to do? I like the Diamond Sutra. I might work in the diamond industry. so he ended up getting a job with this sort of diamond startup company in New York, but he said to them, look, I've just got this one request. I need to meditate at least one day a week, and I can do it on the business. And they were open to that. But him doing that, okay, just having that edge where he was between the worlds allowed this company to grow rapidly. There's this sort of approach where it's connecting with something much deeper, okay, is I think it's going to be able to allow people to become aware of things that they're not normally aware of. Now, bringing it back to sustainability, okay, sustainability is typically around the triple bottom line. So where it's in addition to the financial performance. So typically, your typical manager, CEO, whatever, would come into a room and they would just give the financial performance. And that's about it. Okay, so for some people, that's great. It's very left brain and it's very mental, very mind orientated. So what needs to happen is there's something where people can connect with. And so the triple bottom line also looks at their environmental and social impacts. And so when they may have a social impact, a cause that they're inspiring or they're getting involved in with the local community. And this will, you know, sure, it might be another cost in some way, but it doesn't have to be. It might be perceived as a cost.
It doesn't have to be financial, basically.
No.
Yeah.
However, that will inspire a different part of people that will connect with the heart. And then also we've got the environmental impacts. And that's been shown that there will be some great savings to be made there just by becoming aware. Just by becoming aware.
Absolutely.
Waking up.
Yeah. The plastic analogy I gave before, I could go on and on about that, but you know, I have actually chosen retailers based on whether or not they're going to give me a plastic bag, a box, or a paper bag.
Yeah.
I've done that. I'm very conscious of the global issues that are, you know, are around us with regards to plastic and the killing of our oceans. But coming back to customers and how you choose your customers. And I ask that specifically in that way because I believe that's how every business needs to be approaching doing business, is choosing their customers. And firstly, I'll ask you, how are you choosing your customers?
Well, for me, for a while now, I've chosen to do the content marketing approach. Essentially, I see that like a lighthouse. It's this is what I do. I'm standing there and just going, hey everyone, this is what I do. This is my message. This is my story. This is who I am. And people passing by will, oh yeah, great. And so the ones that are connected with that will come over.
So to frame that for people out there to understand clearly what they need to do in order to do what it is you're doing is effectively you need to broadcast your values through your content.
Yeah.
And those customers that come to you will align with your values and you will effectively choose those clients or customers based on the confirmation that they do align.
Absolutely. And so that there's various ways of broadcasting that, and as you know. And this is one of the things that I do around one of the aspects of my business. It's sustainability advisory. And being able to, for me, I'm big on being able to measure and demonstrate your value that you give. You know, and it's the age old thing, like what is measured can be improved. But not only that, what is measured and demonstrated, like on your website or on any content that you're putting out there, people can connect with. And so for me, it's one of the things I help clients with is discovering what their impacts are on their triple bottom line, and then being able to articulate and demonstrate that in their content marketing or in their on their website.
It's hugely important because it's all well and good for a CEO, an owner, a founder to say, right, we're drawing a line in the sand. This is our core value or core values that we're implementing. This is our social responsibility. This is what we're going to do. And this is going to affect our bottom line. But if you don't test, measure, improve, you will never grow. So therefore, you have to measure that impact, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what you help businesses do?
Absolutely.
Measure their social impact?
Yep. Absolutely.
And how it affects their bottom line, their triple bottom line.
That's it. Yeah. So on, I have two levels of my business. I work with individual clients who are wanting, so this is like the consumer. I work with the consumer so then they can divest and reinvest their money with companies that they feel aligned with their values.
Okay.
And so what this is doing is reallocating money towards companies that are making a positive difference in this world. And because at the end of the day, as a consumer, the difference we can make is fairly negligible, unfortunately. You know, it's the corporates that are the biggest polluters on this planet. So by reallocating capital...
Not just in the physical rubbish sense either.
Yeah, exactly. exactly. And so essentially, for many people, their second largest asset is their super. And that is a really effective way of reallocating money towards companies that are making a positive difference. And it's working. You know, companies are now starting to wake up and go, right, okay, we need to actually, in order to compete in this future market, we need to be able to demonstrate our value there. So I work with consumers in shifting their capital, and also I work with business leaders so to help them be able to compete in this marketplace and become save money and to grow their business and to be able to attract and retain quality staff. So it's two areas, a two-pronged approach.
Fantastic. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't know that. Hence, something you put out there in your marketing recently, or just something you were doing. I went, ethical investing, that sounds fantastic. I think we'll have some, you know, mutual agreeance on how people or how corporates need to change the way they move forward. And beyond that little statement, ethical investing, I didn't do a lot of research. And it's fantastic to know that there is somebody out there that I guess business owners and CEOs and CFOs for that matter can actually lean on and say, hey, well, how do we do this from a financial point of view? Because I, from a marketing point of view, can certainly go and say, hey, we're doing this.
Yeah.
But I'm going to measure the marketing side of things, not necessarily the financials, because I don't always see all sides.
Absolutely. And I'm excited that this is actually happening here on the Gold Coast, because typically this movement is growing rapidly in Melbourne and Sydney. Okay. But
Gold Coast are full of early adopters.
That's what I'm seeing. And the research that I've done as well indicates that the number of small business per capita here on the Gold Coast is the largest here in Australia.
And because they're so small, they can be super nimble. And look, we have access to the entire globe, albeit time zones can be difficult, but, you know, international airports and the power of...
And because of our proximity to the hinterland and the fragility of the ecosystem here, okay, there's a real opportunity for businesses here to show leadership in the area of sustainability. And there's some pretty awesome businesses that are growing here, and I'm excited about being here and about what's unfolding for the Gold Coast in this area.
Fantastic. Well, Adrian, I think we'll wrap it up. That was a long conversation that I planned, but loved every second of it. So I really appreciate your time coming in. How do people stay abreast of what it is you're doing? Is there any social media channel or profile they should be watching?
Yeah, sure. That you can find me on Facebook, Adrian Nathaniel or Argonaut Financial. And I am putting on an ethical business summit. It's free and it's online. So ethicalbusinesssummit.com. And that'll be launching probably in mid-November. So, check that out. And, I look forward to getting in touch.
Thanks very much for watching, guys. This is Me Media's Get Fact Up. You can see all the episodes on memedia.com.au. Otherwise, you can log on to our YouTube channel or Facebook. We share it out there too. You'll find a lot of them on LinkedIn as well. Thanks so much for your time, Adrian.
Thanks, Chris.
See you next week.